Your culture should be getting better. You've been working on this week. If you've been listening, Mark Miller, our friend here from Chick-fil-A, has been with us. Mark's got a new book, Culture Rules. If you haven't pre-ordered yet, I've been saying this every day, go to leadeveryday.com. You got some great offers there. You get 11 copies. Mark's going to do a Zoom call with your team. It's amazing. It's going to be great for you. I encourage you to do that. Welcome to Chasing Greatness. We're really glad that you're with us again. We're trying to help our cultures become all that they can be this week. Mark's been unpacking these culture rules for us. We're so excited. We've got some resources that are coming out. We'll tell you about those as we continue to go. But this idea of leaders animating culture has been so fascinating this week to hear you just unpack this. And to review just for a second, we talked about early in the week, you said that I think it was 70% of the leaders y'all talked to said this is the most important thing is culture. And yet when you looked at their priority list, it was down around number 12. I mean, they were not putting a lot of time on it. So you guys wrote this book and talked about these rules. And the first thing was you've got to aspire. What kind of culture do you want? You got to share the hopes and dreams for your culture with your people. Everybody's got to be saying the same thing. And then the next day we talked about amplifying the culture and a whole episode on that. Again, if you missed any of these, go back and check them out. You got to make it loud and big, and people always watch the leader. There's a way you can animate it really by amplifying it yourself. And then yesterday we talked about adapting, and you never get to a point where, I love the way you said it, you can't shrink wrap your culture. You'll actually suffocate it. It'd be great if we could just let's check these four or five boxes and we're done with that, and then we can move on to something else. It's not the way it works. Well, yesterday you shared something I thought was really great. We even unpacked it a little bit. The idea, if you have a healthy culture, doubling down on that and going toward your strengths, playing to that. But what happens if you have an unhealthy culture? I mean, there are people who are listening. Not all the cultures are healthy. What happens if you have an unhealthy story? You talk about that some in the book. Can you unpack that for us?
Well, first and foremost, you have to be aware that you have an unhealthy culture. Mm. And a lot of leaders aren't really grounded in reality. As we do global studies, we've done multiple over the years, leaders tend to have a very high opinion of what's going on in their organization that does not align with what the frontline people think. Okay. In many, many cases, I won't belabor the point, but there's typically a 40-point gap.
And what I think is a leader and what my people think
is the front line. Ooh. 40 points. Yeah. Like, this is a great place to work. 40 points higher if you ask the leader. So first, you got to figure out how do you stay grounded in reality. And I would argue that it really involves listening, that you can't adapt well unless you listen well.
Okay.
So there's this concept of an early warning system. Every organization needs to have one.
Okay.
And I don't want to be prescriptive on what that looks like, but how do you stay in tune with what's going on? One of the stories that we discovered while we were working on the book is one that many of your audience members probably have heard. It's the canary in the coal mine. And for those that don't know the story, miners for many, many years used to carry canaries with them because they were so sensitive to the toxins that the bird would be affected before the miners.
Down in the mines.
In the mines. You take them in there with them. And then if the bird stopped singing or the bird keeled over, the miners knew they needed
to leave. They got a problem. They don't want to, yeah.
Well, a lot of people know that story. But what a lot of folks don't know is what I would call the rest of the story, that many of the miners were so concerned about the fate of the bird that they built these little cages called revival cages. And they actually put the bird in. It had an oxygen tank mounted to the top and a little door. They could seal the cage. So if the bird fell out, they could close it and they could turn on the oxygen. And so what I've been telling leaders ever since I discovered that story is if you're aware of the toxins, you can actually turn on the oxygen. You control the valve, and you can flood your organization with life-giving oxygen.
Okay,
and
that's
save
so good.
The bird.
Leaders control the valve. I love that. Okay, so you mentioned these toxins. What are some examples of toxins that might be in an unhealthy culture?
There are so many. Paranoia. Self-preservation, unhealthy competition, apathy, even a loss of procedural discipline, all are signs that something is not right.
Mm. Yeah, lack of communication. I mean, go on and on, right? Or poor communication. I mean, all kind of stuff. Yeah, that's great. So what would you say to the leader who's sitting there listening, going, okay, I think we may have a problem. Which means their people may think they have a 40-point more problem than they do. Like, where do you start? Like, what do you say to that leader who's wrestling with that and going, okay, we probably do have a problem. Where do I go first?
Well, I think it depends. Is it urgent? Is it dire? Is it potentially catastrophic? Or is it more of an opportunity? So I think context and severity matters. In the book, we outline several countermeasures that an organization can take. And everything from what we call rip the Band-Aid, which means you need to make a change, and you need to make a change now, mm-hmm. and you do it. There are consequences yeah. with those types of interventions. But sometimes, based on the severity and the urgency, you may need that. It's what Ronald Reagan did after the space shuttle disaster. He shut NASA down and changed the culture.
Yeah.
Now, with consequences, right? These kind of things always have consequences. We talk about that a little bit in the book. So that's on one end. The other is what Google does. We call it Take It Off Broadway. And that's when you're really trying to seize opportunities. You're trying to enhance a culture, maybe even more than you're trying to eliminate a toxin. And they do that with small experiments. And they try to learn and replicate and tweak and adjust and adapt. We call it Take It Off Broadway because it's not a big deal. It's not on the main stage. It's not under the lights. But it's an attempt to always be working to enhance the culture.
Yeah,
and so we've got those and several in between.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've done that some with you. We run a pilot for mm-hmm. We've got an idea. We run a pilot with a select number. And
right.
if it works, okay. If not, we tweak it.
We learn and you keep
before
moving.
You go. Yeah,
yeah.
I like
so,
that.
So we've got a half dozen or more countermeasures in the book. But those are probably the two extremes, the rip the Band-Aid or take it off Broadway.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so I want to kind of go down another little road here while we have you and before we wrap that up. So as you think about toxins, one of the things I say sometimes is, and I've been thinking about this a lot these last few months, is we work with all kind of organizations everywhere, and I notice that when a culture looks like it's struggling, it's often, it looks like it implodes, but I've been saying it actually usually erodes. It doesn't implode. It's not a one time, like the culture just died today. It is an erosion. These toxins actually lead to, the thing just kind of eroding over time.
Yeah, they're corrosive. They're
yeah,
corrosive.
Yeah.
But I would say they can also implode.
Well, they can.
They can implode.
I mean, if a leader, yeah, there's lots of, well, we can
right.
multifaceted
but typically
here,
cultures are generally built slowly, and they usually die slowly.
Yeah.
Now, there are exceptions in both cases. A merger acquisition can accelerate the
right.
birth of a healthy and vibrant culture or signal the demise of a culture
right.
if that's not handled well. But typically, they're built and they decline slowly.
A lot of the companies we work with have they do have mergers and acquisitions going on, and then all of a sudden you inherit a new department, a new state, a new region, a new company, whatever, and you're bringing that in, and now you're trying to mix cultures. Anything you would say to them, anybody that's trying to blend, almost like blending a family sometimes can be challenging. I got friends who've tried to blend a family. Or I've got a leader we worked with in the past who you know about this, who said that they had a bunch of new people on their leadership team. That things were going really well, and now they're not going well. Why? And they didn't know. And then we all of a sudden discover they got half their team is new. Like, there's all kind of things. You start putting peak cultures together and meshing. That can be challenging. Any last word there for somebody who's trying to do
yeah,
something like that?
Two quick thoughts. Increased focus and intentionality, and you probably need more time on task during that season
yeah.
when you're trying to assimilate that other group.
Yeah.
But you just got to be, everything we've said, I think, is more critical and more time sensitive in those situations.
If you're trying to merge.
If you're trying to
those
merge.
More, you got to talk to each other, know each other's stories.
You got to be really, really clear because people are going to come into that, I would assume, with different worldviews
right.
on what is the aspiration.
Right.
So you got to have a leader
that's really
clear. And
some of them may come
in
not happy. They're like kicking
or they bring different values
yeah.
from their, not even bad values,
yeah.
just different values.
Yeah.
Well, what are we going to focus on? And the leader and the organization the new parent company has to be really clear. So increased level of focus, intentionality, and potentially more time on task in that acculturation process.
Yeah, that's great. You've been so great this week. We're gonna get you to stick around for one more episode. One more episode. Mark's been great. I hope you've learned some things this week, and really you're ready to build a culture, not by default, but by design. You got some tools now. If you've not gotten the book, we also actually have a field guide that Mark and I have written together and a quick start guide. Those are available at leadeveryday.com. I think there's a button there. You can get to the store where all our resources are and everything. I hope you'll check those out if you need some things to help you really do what we've been talking about this week. But you get to decide, how great do you want your culture to be? We're talking about chasing greatness here. We've given you these three rules. We talked about some toxins today. We got one more little episode we'll give you tomorrow to help you as you continue to chase greatness in your culture. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow as we conclude our conversation on culture rules with Mark Miller.